It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Well, Larry, hopefully nobody was foolish enough this April to think that winter was over just yet.
Well, there probably were some. This isn't really that unusual to have snows in April, so somebody might think so, but no. Almost every April we have snows. Matter of fact, if you want to look at statistics, there's a couple things of note. A typical average April, if there is such a thing, gives us about 9 inches of snow. But we had an April back in 2010, a few years ago, we had an April. Zero. No snow at all. So, yeah, April can be strange. Before we get into more of the weirdness of April, let's look back at March. We came to an end. I was a little disappointed in the ending. We went the second half of the month of March, almost no precipitation. First half, we were way above normal in precipitation. Second half, almost none. Same way with the snow. First half, over 17 inches of snow. Second half, one. So, yes, there was quite a difference in the two halves. The temperatures, however, did stay chilly. We had a high temperature for the whole month at the Weather Service of 64 degrees. Low temperature was also kind of interesting. The low temperature was minus 11. We don't get below zero after the 20th of March very often at all. It does happen. It even has happened a couple times in April, but don't expect it. I think that is past. We will, however, see other things in April. We may be having thunder showers. Some people consider the first thunder shower as being really the sign of spring of the season changing. This is the time of the full moon for April. And the full moon in April has different names. Some call it the pink moon. That's named after some flowers. Well, we're not going to see many flowers open. However, the other one I prefer, and that is the sugar moon. And that goes back to tapping maple trees. April is a very hard month for a lot of critters. They go through the winter surviving on whatever they can find. And then before the new greening comes up, in spring, they still have to go through the snowfalls and the conditions that we find here in April. Well, the longer days, regardless of the weather conditions, have brought on migration, and it is really happening right now. There are several places we can see it. Starting off with the raptor migration that has been counted since the 1st of March, and this count takes place either at West Skyline near Enger Tower or out at Thompson Hill, depending on the wind conditions. But there's been a lot of bald eagles. Throughout the month of March, more than 2,000 bald eagles were counted. Many golden eagles, over 100 golden eagles. And then there's, yes, the migration of the songbirds. Probably the one we make note of the most is the robins. I think virtually every day I have been seeing flocks of robins. In addition to that, this is the beginning of the spring sparrow time. We have a sparrow migration that comes through every spring. The most notable of these is a kind of sparrow that we don't even call sparrow. The bird is dark. It may be black. It may be gray. Underside is white, and we commonly refer to them as juncals or snowbirds. They start showing up just a few along the road this week, and then the next day there was a bigger flock along the road, and then the next day they started showing up at the bird feeder. And this morning, despite the snow, there was about 25 of them at the bird feeder. Unlike many of the birds that come to the bird feeder, these don't climb up or fly up to the top of the feeders or to the suet. They feed on the seeds that are on the ground. Red-winged blackbirds, yes, I heard them calling from the swamps. I saw grackle this week. Purple finch also been showing up. So there is migration going on. Now, there is an interesting thing that happens at this time, too. There are four kinds of birds that the male try to get the attention of the female in some different ways than singing. They're all fairly good-sized birds. The biggest is the turkey, the wild turkeys. And the wild turkeys, the male, will go with a kind of noise. And during my walks this week, yes, I heard them. The next one is the ruffed grouse, where the male goes on to a log. and beats his wings against his chest to make a what's called a drumming sound. I haven't yet heard that, but it's often heard by the time we get to the first through the first half of April. Then there is one that I went out this week to try to hear and see, and I did not, but I had somebody else tell me they did see it, and that is the woodcock. The woodcock, also known as timber doodle, is a rather strange bird. It's kind of a chubby little bird, short legs, long bill, and it lives in wet areas. Well, when the male tries to get the attention of the female, he struts around making a noise that sounds like, eh, eh. And then after he does that for a while, he takes off and goes into a high flight. And then as he comes down from the flight, the wind goes through the feathers of the wings, making a twittering kind of sound. A strange way for a male to get the attention of the female, but apparently it works. And then the fourth one is the snipe. And when the snipe flies over, they make a similar noise out of their wings, kind of a, often referred to as a winnowing noise. And we are a little early for that, but I have heard them, and I probably will hear them in April. And then this past week, I went to a wetland, and in that wetland, spring flower that was popping up above the ground, and that is skunk cabbage. Skunk cabbage is another very weird plant. It looks like a big purple kind of a cone sticking up out of the ground at this point. Well, if you take a close look at that cone, you'll see it's open, and inside that is the actual flower, and it's a bunch of little tiny yellow flowers. That cone is called a spathe, that's S-P-A-T-H-E, and the inside is called the spadix, S-P-A-D-I-X, similar names as we see with the parts of the flower of the jack in the pulpit. Yes, it's in the same family as the jack in the pulpit. It grows in wet areas, and it doesn't wait for the ground to warm up. It warms up the ground. So the ones I was seeing were actually in bloom, even though they don't look like too much of a big flower. Later, the leaves grow out real big. The skunk part of the name comes from the odor that it gives off in this flowering stage. It doesn't attract us, but it attracts flies, especially for pollination. And then the cabbage part of the name comes from the really big leaves that come later, which can take over a whole wetland. It's just huge. So going to be a great, great trip. So take care.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.